Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Titans tight end Jonnu Smith will join us at 7:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com drops by at 8 o'clock. Lewis Riddick from ESPN, part of the Monday Night Football broadcast, joins us at 9. And then at 9:30, we'll get the latest on the Nashville Predators at training camp. Adam Vingan from The Athletic will drop by. So a loaded show for you here today on this Thursday morning. And as always, taking your reaction all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked about the matchups this weekend, on wild card weekend in the NFL, and I think some good ones, especially in the AFC, like you alluded to. But if you had to identify kind of a dark horse candidate, a surprise Super Bowl run candidate, like we saw maybe from the Titans last year, they were the sixth seed, they got to the AFC title game, were basically one half away from playing in the Super Bowl last year, and then Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City took over. If you had to identify a dark horse candidate in each conference, which direction would you go?
Well, first of all, let's set the terms on that. What qualifies a team as a dark horse? I mean, like, how low of a seed? Because, I mean, the ones and twos can't be, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Is it three or lower or four or lower?
Let's go three or lower for the sake of this discussion.
Yeah. I mean, I just asked that, just not necessarily that I'm, you know, that I'm looking at a three, but because frankly, like in the AFC, I don't like the three,
no,
for example. But if I'm going to look, I think it's interesting because it was just what, 2-3 weeks ago, we had Mike Tannenbaum on and he identified the Titans. And I think there would be a lot of movement for that, if not for the defense. I think people are scared off by the defense, and which is understandably so. I would actually go ahead and throw out the Colts as a surprise Super Bowl run team. Now, again, most people think they're going to get beat. I don't know that I'm necessarily picking them to beat Buffalo, but that's the kind of game where you pull the shocker and you are built kind of like the Titans. Kind of like the Titans last year, you are running the ball really well. Again, Jonathan Taylor he's exploded here.
Yeah.
And he is really – he looks like the guy we saw at Wisconsin in college. They're running it really well, and they're playing – you know, they have a good defense. And, again, the Titans last year, it was Derrick Henry. It was good defense, and it was timely passing, you know, from Ryan Tannehill. Again, Phillip Rivers is my question, but if I'm going to pick one, I'll go there. Cleveland is the other team that I look at for sure as a team that could do something. I mean, those would be my two. In the NFC, I would go – look, I think that we are sleeping a little bit on the Rams because they've faded, but I still think they're also built to – they run it, they play D. And it's kind of the same question. You know, what kind of quarterback play are you going to get out of them? But I think that team could still get it going. And they've played in stretches this year like a team that absolutely could make a run in January.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, I see the Colts as a dark horse as well. Where does that put Kansas City if Tennessee wins too? Well, if the Colts win on Sunday, they will be playing against Kansas City. They'll be the lowest remaining seed. So a Colts win, you'd have to go back to back against Buffalo and then play against Kansas City as well. But to your point, Joe, they are built similarly, although the Titans had a pretty, I think, significant quarterback advantage last year with Ryan Tannehill. But Jonathan Taylor coming along, that Colts defense at times has been very, very good. DeForest Buckner up the middle. You like a lot of the pieces there. So we'll see what happens in this matchup against Buffalo, but certainly an interesting team in the Colts. Not your typical last seed in the playoffs, the Indianapolis Colts. I think if I had to identify one from the AFC, Cleveland would be my team. Like, I just look at what they've been able to do offensively. Baker Mayfield's played a lot better this year. They've got a great running game. Their defense, I think, even though I have questions about it and they're missing some guys there, I think it's good enough. You've got a pass rush with Myles Garrett that can cause some problems there. So I think Cleveland's got a chance to put together a little run here if they can get by the Steelers this week. And I don't know. We'll see what happens in that game. Obviously, some challenges with COVID. But I think the Browns, they've got a dark horse chance this year to really make things interesting in the AFC. I look at the NFC, I think we could be sleeping on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I get it. They've been very inconsistent this year, and their offense at times has looked bad, quite frankly, and just not a whole lot to it. I mean, Bruce Arians has been criticized for not a lot of creativity and basically just lining up and seeing how far Tom Brady at 43 years old can throw the ball down the field. They looked pretty good as of late, and a lot of people don't realize this, but the Bucs and their run defense, it's pretty outstanding. They've got great pass rushers as well that can really wreak havoc on that side of the ball. I like a lot of the pieces. If Tom Brady plays the way that he's played the last two or three weeks in the playoffs, this team is going to be a very tough out for teams in the NFC. So if I had to identify one in the NFC, I'm probably going with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, no, I can see it. I can definitely see it. You know, this brings up an interesting rooting situation, too, for Titans fans. You may hate the Colts, and you may hate Phillip Rivers and want to punch him in the face. But, like, think about if the Colts win Saturday. Like, the two teams in the AFC who really scare everybody, who are right now probably – I still go – I mean, Kansas City, one tier to itself. But I think most people would put Buffalo, the way they're playing, on that next tier. If the Colts can pull that off, you eliminate one of them, and now the Colts are the ones who have to deal with the other one. You know, so you would know that if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan, you know that your team Sunday is playing to play either Cleveland or Pittsburgh. And I know Cleveland put an absolute smackdown in one half on the Titans, but that's got to be pretty enticing, and a lot more enticing than, you know, knowing that you're going to Kansas City if you win. So you think about the Colts may be able to do some dirty work for you, and all of a sudden be in a spot where, and again, if Cleveland does pull it off, having a second straight home game the next week against the Browns, you could be earning that. So, yes, Titans fans, you should go buy your Phillip Rivers jersey. They've been selling them for 20 years. So you can find them. You can find an old Chargers one if you want, and hope they get it done.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds crazy if you're a Titans fan to ever pull for the Colts, but I think that's absolutely the case this weekend. You pull for them to knock off Buffalo. You pull for Cleveland, I guess, to beat Pittsburgh, although I may still pull for Pittsburgh to win. I may take my chances on the road at Pittsburgh than I would going up against the Browns at home at this point. But yeah, I mean, I think if you can knock out the Bills and then just be guaranteed that the next week the Colts are going to play Kansas City, if I'm a Titans fan, I sign up for that right now. I mean, obviously you got to worry about the Ravens game, but I sign up for that right now in terms of maybe being the easiest path to get to the AFC title game, maybe potentially to get to the Super Bowl if you're the Titans. Because I agree, like, talking about dark horse candidates, you know, the Titans, if they had any semblance of a defense and they're the four seed under normal circumstances, they'd be my number one pick. I mean, this offense is really difficult to stop, obviously. I mean, you've got a lot of different things that you've got to deal with Tannehill and Henry, A.J. Brown, how productive they've been. I just have so much hesitation based on how bad this defense. Like the stat that Graziano threw out there the other day in the ESPN piece where of the playoff teams since 2006, the 184 teams that have made it, the Titans are 183rd in defensive efficiency. I mean, that's pretty incredible to think about how poor this defense has been.
Yeah. No, it's hard to have any confidence at all in it, which, hey, go prove, you know, the defense just has to go out and, you know, get three stops, you know, three punts.
Yeah.
You know, you've had a heck of a day's work, but you know, and of course you may still lose if it's only three punts, but you know, you get my idea. I mean, the bar is low, but they've made it low. So I'm looking at this schedule, Robbie, and they've got on ESPN.com, they've got the playoff schedule here, and they've got the tickets. And I don't even know like who their vendor is or whatever, but it's, you know, it's secondary market tickets, okay? So the Seattle and Washington games are nothing because there's no fans for those games. The other four games, there are fans. So I'm going to give you the tickets as low as, okay?
Okay.
For this game, for the Titans Ravens, tickets as low as $258.
Holy smokes.
For New for New Orleans, tickets as low as $685. For the Pittsburgh game, tickets as low as $495. And for Indianapolis at Buffalo, tickets as low as $10,852.
Oh, Bills Mafia, baby. They love it. Love them some Buffalo Bills football. What do they have, like six tickets available?
I mean, I've got to look that up next because it's got to – but, hey, it's also Bills Mafia. Yes, find your way into that stadium and stay off Twitter, Bills Mafia.
Are you sure that said tickets as low as $800 or ticket as low as
good
that
Lord.
Price right there?
Was it singular or plural?
Well, yeah, like yeah, each ticket, yeah, each seat.
Just one so if you're going for that,
if you're going for as a pair, Bills Mafia, a nice, you know, a loving Bills Mafia couple smashing through folding tables. You only have to summon about $22,000 to have a wonderful day in Orchard Park.
Yeah, wow. Who knows? Buffalo Bills football.
Time to lift up some couch cushions, see what kind of change you can find.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing pretty well as of late. So I get it, but my God, that's a big price. Did you see the story that came out? Speaking of crazy, and I'm sure, Elijah, you saw this being a Saints fan, of Sean Payton like floating the idea out there that 50,000 Saints fans should just be in quarantine right now, and then they could bring him to the game to have home field advantage coming up on Sunday for the playoffs. Just put 50,000 people in quarantine and bring them in there.
I'm sure you can find a place to house 50,000 people for like a week-long quarantine or however long you need it to happen to be able to safely place that many people in the same building. I mean, it's just like one large slumber party.
But what like they realistically should do, and by the way, it's 6,772. So Bills, you know, they're getting 6,700 people.
Jeez.
And that's the low price. So that tells you a little bit about about Bills Mafia. But what they should do, they talked about this for the Super Bowl, and I think you could probably do it to some extent, right?
Yeah.
At some of these places is get the vaccinated medical professionals and get them in for free. I mean, every place that has playoff games, including here, I mean, that should be some kind of a pursuit to get some of these people in who have been first responders and out here on the front lines for months and months and months. And if they're vaccinated, that'd be amazing to see in as many stadiums as possible. I think we will see it for the Super Bowl.
When we come back, the Ravens are getting a lot of love heading into this game. What do we make of that love? Is there a healthy disrespect that the Titans could use heading into this game? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. The Game. Nashville has your chance to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game. Be listening in at 8:45 every morning right here on Robbie and Rex Road this week for the keyword of the day, and then text that keyword into the game text line at 615-737-1025, and you will be entered to win. The winner will be announced next Thursday, which is Thursday, January the 14th, so looking forward to that. I'll have your keyword of the day right around 8:45 today. So make sure you keep that in mind as we go through the show here. Going to have Titans tight end Jonnu Smith joining us here in just a few minutes at 7:30. So looking forward to that conversation as well with him. So, Joe, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, looking ahead to this game for the Titans against the Ravens. Lots of love being, you know, posted the Ravens' way. They're 3-point favorites in this game. They've won 5 games in a row. They seem to be playing much better offensively, getting some bodies back defensively that are going to look much different than the last time the Titans played them in Baltimore. Calais Campbell probably being the biggest piece when it comes to that. How do you think the Titans can use this heading into this game where you're at home, you're the higher seed in this matchup, you've won the last two matchups, both in the playoffs last year and then earlier this regular season, and yet still find yourself as the underdog in this game? Do you think the Titans draw any extra motivation from that, or is that so overblown because it's the playoffs that it's not even a factor heading into this game? I think Joe Rexrode may have left himself on mute.
Wow, he's reached his quota already for the
day. Hey, by the way, I didn't do it yesterday one time, right? Did I have a mute issue yesterday?
No, you did not do it yesterday. So this is only the second or third time this week. It's pretty good.
I'm skeptical.
I have to point to the past.
That's right.
To justify That's today. Right. So, but as I was saying to myself,
thank you.
It's always hard with things like this because coaches spend way too much time worrying about them to think they mean nothing, you know?
Right.
Like they, like coaches either talk about this stuff with their teams or, you know, try to make sure their teams don't help the other coach talk about it with their teams quite a bit. So, I mean, it has to, it's like every little thing you can find, use it. Yeah. You know, get an extra. Okay. So this will cause, you know, David Long Jr. To spend another half hour watching film because he's so ticked off about this or that. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's the all finding an edge is the common theme here, but I do think it's probably a little bit better for the Titans than just being the favorites than everybody picking them to win again. And I think it's, look, I think the national love is because the Ravens have looked very good since that crazy night in Cleveland when Lamar Jackson, you know, had to leave the field for whatever he had to leave the field for. you know, comes back and hits that winning TD pass just right in the game and hit that pass. They've been crushing people. They've been crushing not very good teams. I think the odds makers and media, you know, they latch on to hot teams going to the postseason. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Every year, I think in the NFL playoffs or just about any, well, I shouldn't say any. I would take the NBA away because that is by far the most chalky, you know, usually situation. You know, NHL, the NCAA tournament, like you will find hot teams everybody loves who do make runs, and you'll find hot teams that don't make runs too, and maybe get lulled to sleep a little bit by the fact that they've been playing well. But I think that's why this is how people look at this game. That and just the Titans defense. When you're paying any attention to this team, you just can't have a ton of confidence in that defense. And you know that in this league, offense wins championships, offense wins big games, but bad defense is going to get you.
It's just amazing to me, like how, I guess, spread out the opinions are on this Ravens team. They've won 5 games in a row. I think you can make an argument looking at their roster this year, especially defensively, that they could be a better team from a personnel standpoint this year than they were last year when they went 14-2. I know they lost some pieces on the offensive line, and that's a big deal. But I do think that argument is there. But then you'll have, you know, guys like Bernard Pollard, who we had yesterday on the show, who don't seem to have any confidence in the Ravens in this offense whatsoever based on, you know, how simplistic, you know, stylistically speaking that it is. And we've heard that, you know, all season long. I mean, Lamar Jackson talked about it earlier this year that teams are, you know, calling out their plays at the line of scrimmage. And there's not a whole lot of, you know, complexity to this offense. You know what the Ravens are going to try to do. So it's interesting with this group, and I guess specifically with this quarterback in Lamar Jackson, how widespread the opinions are in terms of the damage people feel like this Ravens team could do. I mean, Vegas obviously feels pretty good about him, especially in this matchup, based on the point spread and also based on, you know, that number we threw out there yesterday where FanDuel Sportsbook gives them the highest odds to score the most points this weekend. So it's just amazing to me how widespread the opinions are on this Ravens team and on Lamar Jackson in particular. And until he goes out there and proves it in a playoff game, I think you're going to have these varying degrees of opinions on him.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right. I will say, I haven't seen everything, but I've as I look around different outlets, you know, picking games, boy, I see an overwhelming number picking the Ravens.
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, that's some level of expectation, you know, that Lamar Jackson is going to get it done. And you're right. It's all over the map. It's just hard because, you know, you roll up 400 yards on the Bengals on the last day of the year, and you get your backups in for a lot of that game. I mean, they you know, that was one of those, okay, that team's just ready for the year to be over. Then they played some other bad teams down the stretch, you know, the Jags included, just like the Titans. But I do think Greg Roman deserves some credit for some adjustments here. Greg Roman, by the way, he's a guy who you would think would be in some level of conversation for some of these head coaching jobs. But I think midseason, like you said, Lamar Jackson talking about people calling out the plays, some questions about, okay, have defenses now figured this out? And did the Ravens not have a counter? And now it seems like they have figured some things out, adjusted some things, and gotten things rolling again. So I think that's probably credit to him, but this is a big tester of that. I mean, this team, which has done well against this offense twice in the last calendar year in a huge game in the playoffs, can you now do it in that situation? Can you run the ball that effectively? It's simple, like Bernard Pollard said, but again, when you have option football and then you still also have, you know, gap blocking straight ahead, some play action stuff in that as well, I don't think it's not like an 8-play offense,
right?
You know, it's just that when they do the option stuff, it's sort of, you know, it's assignment football that defenses should in the NFL should be able to handle, at least in terms of understanding what's going on. You still have to tackle people. The Titans have done well in two games. I'm very interested to see if they can do it well for a third time.
And that's the key point, because it's interesting. We were talking about kind of the mood of Titans fans heading into this game against the Ravens, and there should be at least some level of competence there, just given the fact you've beaten them twice in the last calendar year. But a lot of things you'll also hear when you've beaten team twice and you've had success against them is, all right, can you really do that three times in a row in this league with how difficult it is to win, with the adjustments that teams make? And I do think there's some of that this week with Titans fans of, yeah, we feel good about the matchup. Obviously, you know that you can beat this Ravens team since you've done it twice in the past year. But also, you have to ask yourself, just from like a psychology standpoint of, can you really pull it off three times in a row? I mean, it's very difficult to beat a team three times in a row. Now, if you've been a Titans fan long enough, you think back to the Super Bowl run year and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They finished that year 14-2. And the only three teams they lost to that year, two in the regular season, were the Titans and then the AFC title game to the Titans. So it's not like it can't be done, but I do think there is a portion of Titans fans that look at this matchup, look at how the Ravens have been playing as of late, and ask, all right, I know that they've done it twice. Can they really do this three times in a row, especially with that defense?
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, you expect a team to respond the third time. I remember back then I was like, okay, the Jaguars are gonna they're gonna figure this out now, right? I mean, because that team was obviously just a terrific, they both were, but you kind of expect it, that third time the charm thing to happen. You know, another thing to remember here is a lot of these same players on both teams. It was just two seasons ago, 2018. I think one of the most dominated games, other than like the Browns game this year, you know, the Ravens came in again. It wasn't Lamar Jackson at quarterback yet. It was still Flacco. It was a lot of the same guys on both sides of the ball, just dominated the Titans.
Yeah.
Now, Za'Darius Smith was a big part of that performance, but still, if you want to talk about memory banks and guys on the field, a lot of them on both sides also have that to point to. The Ravens coming into Nashville and throttling them. You know, the last time these teams played in Nashville, that's what happened. So I don't know how that factors in, probably not at all, but it's just something to keep in mind as far as the history of these teams. I mean, they both sides, a lot of the players on both sides have had success and failure in these versions of the teams.
And a big part of the Titans' success lately in these matchups against the Ravens has been the play of their tight end, Jonnu Smith. He will join us when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the big matchup coming up this weekend, the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Titans tight end, Jonnu Smith. Jonnu, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, Jonnu. Hope you are as well. Happy holidays to you and your family. So, Jonnu, obviously, the accomplishment of winning the division, something that hasn't been done around here since 2008, and I know that's not your end goal, and you've got the playoffs to worry about now, but what does that accomplishment of winning the division mean for you and this team and this group of players?
It's huge for, you know, the city. It's huge for, you know the fan base, man, and you know, this team as well. You know, it's just, you know, claiming that, you know, we are, you know, we are the South. You know what I mean? We got the South, but like you said, man, we got much bigger goals than that. And, you know, it's a huge accomplishment, but we've got to keep moving forward and reach those goals that, you know we can attain.
And, Jono, obviously, you know, we want to talk about this huge matchup this week, big opportunity for you guys. But I did want to ask you about Derrick Henry this year. And just as a teammate of his for the past few seasons, what has it been like to see his growth as a player? And what's it been like to be a part of, you know, a historic season like he just had here?
Yeah, man, it's been huge. Like you said, it's a historic season, man. The guy's a hell of a worker. You know what I mean? He's earned every yard that he's gotten, man. And, you know, it shows, you know, day in and day out when he comes in the building. So just to, you know, see him grow, you know, he's a hell of a teammate on and off the field. You know what I mean? So to see that happen to him, man, you always want, you know, good things to happen to good people. So to see him, you know, get those accomplishments and just become the player he is, man, it's good to see.
Jono, obviously, you know, it's a tough blow for the offense when you lose Taylor Lewan. Anytime you lose a player of that caliber, you know, it sucks, and you wonder around the league, like, how many teams can sustain a loss like that. But you guys have been able to still remain incredibly productive offensively, even without him in the fold. How have you guys been able to do this? How have you guys been able to continue to play at such a high level offensively?
Because we heard the guys, you know, that are not starters to the same standard that are guys that are starters. You know what I mean? And that's just kind of the mindset that we have in this building. You know, the next man up mentality, and you expect it to fulfill that role just as the guy in front of you did. So it's no surprise that those guys who had to stepped in and are, you know, competing and performing at the level that they're performing at, man. So it's no surprise, and that's the reason why we're here today. I had this opportunity to play playoff football.
Yeah, and obviously. Yeah, and obviously, John, I mean, then Ty Sombrello comes in, does a good job, and then, you know, last time you guys played Baltimore, David Quesberry has to come in at the end of that game, and you guys get it done. And there's been, like you said, there's been other, you know, people, I mean, Aaron Brewer stepping in and helping out and things like that, guys banged up. From the outside looking in, John, it has looked to us like you've had to stay in more. Maybe since Taylor went out, is that too simplistic? Is that accurate in your mind that, you know, basically you've had to be a little bit part of protection more and maybe a little bit less part of the passing game?
I just more so with you know, has to do with you know, just the game plan and, you know, our opponents and, you know, just certain things that we want to get done as offense, man. And I've always been a player that, you know, I just do whatever it takes to win. You know what I mean? And that's the ultimate goal. You know, everything else comes with it. It comes second. So, you know, when you're playing this game, you know, you do what you can do to help the team win. So, that's just kind of been my mentality about it, man. And, you know, we playing playoff football, and I'm going to continue to have that mentality. You know what I mean? So, you know, whatever we called to do.
Titans tight end Jonnu Smith on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Jonnu, to that point, as you evaluate yourself in your game, where do you think you've improved the most here in this season, in this last year or so?
Just being able to slow the game down from a mental aspect, man. I think, honestly, that's where I improved the most. You know, of course, it was, you know, some things physically that I got better on. But for me, you know, my biggest, you know, improvement to myself was just, you know, slowing the game mentally. I'm in year four, man, and I think coming into this league, you know, you're going against guys that's older, so you might have an edge on them, you know, speed, quickness, sometimes strength, you know what I mean? But those guys, man, that have been doing this for such a long time, man, they've took a mental approach to the game, and that's what's giving them the edge. So for me, I just try to, you know, tune that aspect up, you know what I mean? And I think the game has came a lot easier to me, a lot smoother to me since then.
Jono, with this matchup coming up Sunday, one thing I always try to figure out is it seems like a playoff game should be all the incentive anyone needs, right? I mean, it's the playoffs. This is what you play for. both of these teams want to make runs to try to make a push toward the Super Bowl. But there are other things people talk about. You guys beat them twice in the last calendar year. You know, they're favored, even though they're coming to you in a lower seed. You know, the pregame thing that happened between you guys and them a little bit in Baltimore. How much does that stuff matter?
Man, it's gonna be a physical game. You know, it's gonna be a boxing match, and you know, they know that, we know that. You know, they're a good football team. We're a good football team. We're a physical football team. You know, they pride themselves on being a physical football team. So, you know, we know every down that it's gonna be dirty and nasty and gritty. But that's the kind of team that we are, man. So, you know, we look forward to it. That's the game that we want to play.
And, John, and to that point, like, we've heard a lot of players say that, you know, the intensity's there every week in the NFL, obviously, but playoff football is different. Just different. Like, how much different is it from an intensity standpoint out there?
It's guys are giving much more effort, you know, that, you know, guys are not taking, you know, any plays off, man. You know, this is for the marbles right here, man. So you can only know that, you know, we just going a little bit harder, you know what I mean? And game's faster, you know what I mean? And it's faster, you know, everybody always say, you know, the NFL is the fastest game, you know what I mean? Like, man, this game is faster, you know, when it's playoff football. So you just got to be ready, man.
This Ravens defense, Janu, if you could compare it to one, obviously they're getting a couple of really important guys back in the interior in Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, that weren't there in the meeting in November. But then even from last year to this year, how do they look different to you as you're looking at them on film this week?
Like you said, they added some key pieces, man. You know, they got some guys in the back end that are really good. You know, all around, you know, guys in the middle, you know what I mean? That's a good defense, you know what I mean? I give credit when credit is due. You know, we just got to come out and play our brand of football, though. You know what I mean? That's what we've been doing. We've never looked at the opponent. You know what I mean? We've never looked at the logo on the helmet or anything like that. That's not us. You know what I mean? We come out, we do, we ball. We respect our opponent. And, you know, we compete. We win. That's what we do. You know what I mean? So, you know, they got a lot of great guys on that side of the ball. But, you know, we don't worry about that. We just got to come out and play our brand of football.
Titans tight end Jonnu Smith on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Jonnu, just from our vantage point, it's been pretty incredible to watch Corey Davis and what he's been able to do this year, especially when you factor in everything that he's been going through off the field as well. What have you seen out of Corey this year? What kind of a jump has he made, in your opinion, this year in this offense?
Man, to be going through the things that he had to go through, you know, this season, and it can perform at the level that he's performed at. It's been nothing like it, you know what I mean? Another, man, great guy, just on and off the field, man, and a guy I got a lot of respect for, you know, a guy that comes in here, works, you know, works his behind off every day, and, you know, he just, you know, he wants to get better, and to see him improve, man, and to see him, you know, come from where he's came from, you know, that's been also very good to watch, man. It's been a pleasure to watch, and to see him grow, I know he's going to continue, you know, reaching heights. But it speaks a lot,
Janu,
you know, testament to his character from the things that he's definitely overcame. So,
oh, sorry about that. So, yeah, Janu, first division title for this franchise in 12 years. So, first home playoff game too. And I know it's obviously, you know, you guys would love to have the fully packed stadium, just like everybody in this league would love to have right now. But about 15,000 fans, and you've had that a few times now. How much difference does it make still to be at home and to have that many people cheering for you guys?
Yeah, man. I mean, like you said, like, you know, it's tough to, you know, fill those stadiums right now with what's going on in the world. You know, it's, you know, of course, you know, we all know right now that, you know, the impact of the fans in the stadium isn't as crucial as it has been in the past. But, you know, we're going to take home field advantage all day. You know what I mean? Like, regardless of what's the situation, we're going to take home field advantage all day, man, because it definitely, you know, it's just a lot that goes into that mentally, man. You know, you got to travel and you just got to get where you're playing in a stadium that's not true. It's a lot that goes into it psychologically, you know what I mean? And, you know, you may find the edge. I mean, we're all professionals, man, so this is what we do day in and day out. And it's, you know what I mean? But you may find the edge somewhere within that, you know what I mean? And that could probably be the difference. So, you know, we'll take home field advantage, man. But, yes, it's a tough time we're going through right now as a society. And, you know, I'm thankful and glad that, you know, we got through the season fairly healthy. You know, I know, you know, this season, man, there's been a lot of guys that, you know, were affected, but, you know, thankfully, you know, everyone's, you know, for the most part, seems like, you know, guys had it and, you know, overcoming it, or, you know, hopefully we can just keep those numbers down.
Titans tight end Jonnu Smith has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexer. Jonnu, really appreciate you taking time to join us, and good luck on Sunday against Baltimore.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Some great stuff there from Jonnu Smith, and it is interesting. I mean, you heard it there from him, Joe. We talked about it earlier in the show. Home field advantage, it's not going to look the same. It's not going to be quite what you hoped, you know, heading into the year about what maybe a crowd could look like, but still very important for these players.
Right. Like, they'll still take it. And, you know, it's still, again, like that, I think back to the one game they had with basically no one. I'm trying to remember, was it like eight people or something? It was, you know.
Yeah, was that the Jacksonville game?
Yeah. I mean, that was bizarre. Actually, the game at Baltimore, you know, because I was at that game in November 22nd. That was a dreary, you know, overcast day, and you drive around the stadium. I mean, it really was like one of those zombie movies, you know, like an NFL Sunday. And just it's very different going from zero to even just, I think, a couple thousand probably makes some kind of a difference. So, you know, it's not going to be disruptive to your opponent, but it's still at least some kind of appreciation for you, which you would think would be a little bit of a bump for a team.
When we come back, ESPN.com has come out with their NFL playoff quarterback rankings. Where does Ryan Tannehill fit into that discussion, and do we agree with it? We'll find out on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Titans tight end Jonnu Smith for joining us in the last segment. We'll have Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com joining us to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Lewis Riddick from ESPN, part of the Monday Night Football broadcast, joins us at 9 o'clock. And then we'll get the latest on the Nashville Predators at 9:30. Adam Vingan from The Athletic drops by. So still a lot to get to today here on the show. But Joe Rexrode, ESPN.com has come out with their quarterback rankings heading into the playoffs this year. Seth Walter has put this piece together on ESPN.com, ESPN Plus. And you look at the rankings, obviously it's no surprise. Mahomes is number one. Rodgers is at number two. Russell Wilson, even though he's struggled as of late, is at number three. Ryan Tannehill comes in at number seven on this list. So right in the middle, ahead of Tannehill, is Tom Brady at number six. Lamar Jackson at number five, and then Josh Allen at number four. What do you think of Tannehill being ranked number seven in this kind of poll that they've taken, this ranking that they've taken here, which is one spot ahead of Drew Brees, one spot behind Tom Brady? Is that right? Would you put Tannehill higher, lower? Where are you going with this discussion as far as quarterbacks are concerned with Ryan Tannehill and where he fits into the mix?
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised that he'd be right around there. I would put him higher. I think Josh Allen is playing really well. And so I think I would, even though I said a few weeks ago, I thought Tannehill was more deserving of the Pro Bowl, I'm not sure I still think that at the very end of things, which is good to have the whole season as your, you know, as all the evidence.
Yep.
You know, but I think it's four really good candidates for the Pro Bowl in the AFC for three spots. But, you know, I think Tannehill is certainly a deserving Pro Bowl guy. But I would put Allen. I think I'd probably put Tannehill next. And that's, I'm sure, higher than most people around the league would do. And, you know, Nashville homers putting Ryan Tannehill high. But, I mean, I think he's that good. I would absolutely have him above Brady. And I know Brady's had some big games lately. But I would have him above Brady. I would have him above Russell Wilson the way he's playing right now. And Lamar, and I would have him ahead of Lamar Jackson too. I mean, that's obviously, we get to see that matchup. Lamar Jackson is playing well. He's not, you know, Lamar Jackson doesn't have to throw for 300 Sunday for the Ravens to win. you know, it's interesting that it's like we judge quarterbacks differently. You have to look at things differently with him, and his rushing total is a big part of the evaluation of him on a weekly basis too. They need both of those things. But I would put Tannehill fourth.
And, you know, a part of this piece is you go through the quarterbacks and you list the biggest strength and the biggest weakness that they've got, you know, kind of heading into the playoffs here. And in terms of the weakness is concerned, in this article on ESPN.com talking about Tannehill, it says, facing the blitz and being pressured. He drops to 16th in QBR when facing the blitz and 22nd when pressured. So it's clear that Ravens defensive coordinator Wink Martindale will be looking to disrupt Tannehill in the wild card matchup. Tannehill has made strides in a related area as his sack rate is 4.6%, down from 9.4% last season when he had a better pass protecting line. So obviously, you know, when you look at quarterbacks around the league, the more they're blitzed, the more they're facing pressure, the more problems it causes. But I do think, you know, outside of the Green Bay game, the Titans have done a good job lately of keeping him upright and making sure that he's got time to throw. Maybe have to do it in different ways, and we talked about that a little bit with Jonnu Smith, maybe him hanging in there to protect a little bit more. But I think outside of the Green Bay game, Tannehill's had time and for the most part has delivered very accurately, regardless of the situation that he's been put in.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Ravens hope that Calais Campbell means, you know, they can get pressure without having to pressure as much. Yeah. And I mean, certainly anybody who remembers Titans at Jacksonville early last season felt like Calais Campbell was in the backfield every play. That was Jamil Douglas and very young Nate Davis as the right guard for that team. But you know, that's a difference maker, not just in the run game, but in the pass. If you can get some interior pass rush, that's a big deal for the Ravens. But yeah, they have done a good job. You know, Jonnu Smith, asked him about, you know, the kind of different role. And of course he's not going to sit there and say, yeah, my role got totally chopped in half, you know, with this, but
in a contract year. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I mean, if you watch closely this team, and look, they have provided more help, you know, especially in some matchups, it is week to week, but I mean, he had the first 4 weeks before Lawan got hurt, he had 5 touchdowns and he had 18 catches in the first 4 weeks. Then Lawan gets hurt, and so he ends up with 41 on the year and 8 touchdowns, which is still that's a very good total for a tight end in a year. But I mean, you do wonder what would have happened there. But regardless, it's I mean, that protection of Tannehill is going to be a massive thing. Another point to make on Tannehill. Now, this is where Pro Football Focus, Robbie, I rip it because I think the grades of players are sometimes just like, how could you possibly give me an instant grade when you don't even know what they're supposed to do half the time?
Right.
You know, but where Pro Football Focus is effective is, I mean, they can add things up by watching film. And so they've added this up with Tannehill, play action passing, 12 touchdowns, 3 picks, 9.7 per attempt, 60.4 percentage. No play action, 21 touchdowns, 4 picks, 7 per attempt, 68.3 percentage. This does not feed the narrative that, you know, Tannehill is just a product of Derrick Henry and play action, you know, and sucking in a defense and having bigger windows to throw into. I mean, which again, we don't need these stats to know this for those of us who watch him play every week, but it's just a reminder for people who want to diminish what he's done.
Yeah, and we've talked about maybe the opportunity for Tannehill in this postseason to prove the doubters wrong. And like you said, I think if you spent any time here locally watching this guy play, we know what he is. We know how good he is. At this point, I think the track record is there long enough where this is not just some fluke. This is not just some, you know, a player getting hot or, you know, being the perfect fit with this offense, with the throws that he's made and the different things that he's had to do. Ryan Tannehill's just a good quarterback. He's a really good quarterback in the NFL, and I think we've established that at this point. But it was obvious a couple weeks ago, right before the Green Bay game, and I realized it didn't work out well for him in that game. Just talking about, you know, the narrative out there that this offense really only goes as far as Derrick Henry will take them, and It's easy to play quarterback when you've got Henry in the backfield. That obviously is something that Tannehill is aware of and that he's heard and that he's paid attention to. What kind of an opportunity is this playoff run for him? Not here locally, because we know what he is, but from a national perspective, I think to cement himself as an elite quarterback in the NFL. Because you read the bottom of this piece that we've been talking about on ESPN.com, and our man TD adds to it and says, quote, Tannehill turned his career around last season in Tennessee. Now it's time to take the next step. He must show that he can take this team deep into the postseason, and that will cement his status as an elite NFL quarterback. So as you view that, as you hear that, what do you think this opportunity looks like for Ryan Tannehill with this postseason?
Yeah, well, I think TD's right. I also think that Tannehill deserves more credit than he got for them getting to the AFC Championship game last year. If you look at the box score, you don't give him a lot of credit. If you watch those games, you give him a lot more credit. But still, people, look, those games were dominated by Derrick Henry. Those wins over New England and Baltimore. So that's your headline. That's your above-the-fold story, is that, you know, Derrick Henry goes for 195 on Baltimore and what, 170 something, or it was more than 180 on New England. You know, Ryan Tannehill still played well in those games. I think if they're going to win Sunday and any game, both those guys are going to have numbers.
Yeah.
And that's the cost of, you know, the defense and what has become of this defense. So if they win Sunday, there's no way it's Tannehill 7 for 14, 88 yards, and the Titans win Sunday. He's going to have to make some throws, a lot of throws, and probably some throws under duress. And again, he's throwing against two really good corners. I mean, Peters and Humphrey, those are excellent cornerbacks that the Titans picked on last game. Doesn't mean that'll happen again. It's a very good defense. And if he gets it done, you know, with numbers and they win, you would think that would change some minds. I mean, if they're going to make any kind of run, I don't see how they do it if Tannehill and Henry aren't producing at least what they've been averaging this year, if not more.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, if you just look at the stats and the eye test, Tannehill is easily third or fourth on this quarterback list that ESPN has thrown out there. I mean, I don't think you can really argue with the top two of Mahomes and Rodgers, and I agree. I would probably, at this point, given the way that Josh Allen's been playing, put him at number three. I do think you can make a good argument right now. Tannehill belongs at four ahead of Russell Wilson. And I know people around the league hear that and think you're crazy to put Tannehill above Russell Wilson, but based on the way they've been playing as of late, I mean, Tannehill's been better. The stats bear that out.
Yeah. And look, we go around to different cities and, you know, you'll hear, I mean, look, there's obviously some provincial element here where it's whoever you see and watch all the time, you have a better feel for what they are. And all these choices are good choices. Like even Russ, again, we're talking about the guy's the MVP in October and he's hit some hard times and we know what he is. He's a heck of a quarterback. But yeah, if you go by current performance, and I still would put Tannehill over Brady, even though Brady's had some monster games. I think he's right now, as it stands, a better player. But these things do get, they do get largely determined by what you do in January, if you have a chance to do things in January.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our man Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. We'll look back at the history of the Titans-Ravens rivalry in the playoffs and look ahead to this matchup coming up on Sunday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.